to be able to have a special influence on King Solomon. And she said, as she came on behalf of Adonijah, look at chapter 2, in verse 16, Adonijah says, "Now I ask one petition of you, do not deny me." And she said to him, "Say it. Please speak to King Solomon." He doesn't dare to come personally. So he come indirectly, pulling strings. See, pulling strings is in the Bible. It's illegal. And he says here, "Please speak to King Solomon, for he will not refuse you." See? He was right in a sense. Solomon has never refused his mother under normal circumstances. He had a special relationship with his mother. He did not neglect that. And then his mother came and said, in verse 20, "I desire one small request, small one, small favor." Have some of you been promoted? You're in a certain position, and then perhaps your family members or your loved one comes. One small request. If you don't grant this small request, you're not flesh and blood. Not kaki lang. Right. But there's only one problem with a small request. It's going to contradict and violate basic principles that God has said. And so she made that small request, and in verse 22, Solomon sort of sarcastically told her and said, "Why do you ask for Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? You might as well ask for the kingdom also and everything." And he says in verse 23, 24, "Because of this, Adonijah will die." What will you feel if you were Bathsheba sitting on the throne there? Hurt? Disappointed? I do not know. But here is a difficult situation he has to face as he is going up to the throne. That is number one, in regard to his family, it is principles that establish life. Families are built upon principles, not principles upon family. And he has to get that right. And he has to move against his own emotions. Do you know that emotionally he will say yes, but rationally he will say no? And that's one of his first tests as he was going to the throne. Whether as a leader he's going to be moved by emotions or moved by rational thinking, based on principles. And he made that choice. And neither did he react. Say, "Why do you do such a thing? God, take away her throne." No, he didn't react either. I'm sure later on the throne was still there. But that's the first area. Solomon had to wrestle with his own emotions. Emotions. Now, Jesus also had to wrestle with that in his early ministry life. When his own brothers and his mother came and wanted to see him, and when they didn't know their position, and they wanted to interrupt his ministry, you know, to put everything else below that what his family was requesting, and he turned to his disciples and he said, "These are my mother, brothers, and sisters." What a shock it must have been to them. Although the old saying is that blood is thicker than water, but the new one is spirit is thicker than blood. Spiritual ties and spiritual principles are much higher. Much higher. So that if you read the book of Exodus, you realize that God says, you know, his commands are above everything. Now, the second thing that Solomon has to wrestle with as he was on the throne is his own relationship with his own brother. He showed his brother mercy when his brother came to him in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1, and repented in verse 52 and 53. Solomon said, if he If he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of him shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon sent them to bring him down from the altar. And he came and fell down before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. Now here is this brother who has plotted and wanted to take over the entire kingdom. And now Solomon has learned to forgive him. And he has put all these things aside. But when that brother asked for Abishag the Shunammite, he had an ulterior motive. Because Abishag had been with King David, although she did not sleep with King David, but she was associated with King David. And when he requested for Abishag, he reminded Bathsheba of something here in chapter 2 that he has not forgotten in verse 15. Look at 1 Kings 2:15. You know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel had set their expectations on me. In other words, he knew that he could bring a following, and he still claimed the kingdom as his. Now there's something wrong with that brother. If he's still claiming the kingdom is his, he still wants to play marbles with King Solomon. My marble, your marble. Fighting over the kingdom. And he acknowledged in verse 15, however, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now, that last sentence there, last phrase, it was his from the Lord. It was never his at all. So you can imagine, here's the principle. If this Adonijah continue in his path, along the way, he is going to wreak havoc in Solomon's kingdom. You always need a problem in the bud. But one of the most difficult decisions to make was this person happen to be his own brother. What would Solomon do? Now he realized that this kingdom business is no marbles. It's not playing masak-masak. No, now your turn. Sit, try. No? Then my turn, you know. Playing musical chairs. You realize that his own life may be at stake. This is a life and death matter. Probably if Adonijah was king, Solomon would have been dead. And he had given mercy to Adonijah. But Adonijah was still trying to plot. And what Solomon did was very difficult in the flesh and to the emotion. Because in principle, if it's anybody else in the kingdom who have asked a request and sought the same usurping, they will have instant death, no mercy. But he has given Adonijah mercy. And here he comes the second round. Adonijah was sentenced to death. That was a difficult decision. So as Solomon went up the throne, you can imagine his first days and first hours were very difficult. He has to wrestle with his own emotions and wrestle the correct principles out. But the third thing that helped to establish him is the most important, is in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 34. Then let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel and blow the horn and say, long live King Solomon. What happened here was the recognition and the anointing. David the king, Zadok the priest, Benaiah, one of the commanders there, all were involved. And Nathan the prophet, all were involved in anointing Solomon. In other words, he had recognition from the established ministries. He didn't usurp it, he didn't plot it, he didn't go by undercurrent. he abided and waited on God. And because it was ordained of God, in the end he was recognized. It would have just been like Stephen and Philip in the New Testament. There they were, they were constantly faithful to God, doing all the things, and they got recognized. And they were appointed deacons in the church. Hands were laid upon them in Acts 6. And their ministry blossomed and exploded when it was recognized. But they waited their time. But before Acts 6 was Acts 5, there was another man called Ananias with his wife Sapphira. And they wanted recognition. They wanted people to recognize them. They are very charitable. They sold the land, kept back part of the money, came and told Peter, "We have sold all the land," like Barnabas did. They wanted recognition the wrong way, and they died. So we can see here that as Solomon got on his throne, he did not get it by his own hand. Do you know David has to learn that same lesson? The humble shall be exalted. The exalted shall be humble. Another way of putting it is that the grabbers shall be removed and the yielders shall be established. It's a matter of yielding unto God and letting God flow rather than grabbing. The world teaches us, grab, 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 and you will have more. But God says, give, 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 and you will have more. Contrary principles. The world says that the strong and the mighty shall inherit the earth. But Jesus said, no, the meek shall inherit the earth. They are contrary principles. So when Solomon ascended to his throne, he has to apply the same principles that his brother, his father David did. He allowed his own father to recognize him and establish him. He didn't try to rebel or establish himself. That was his ascension to the throne. Immediately, one of the first things that Solomon did as he went under the throne was to worship God. And in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, one of the first acts that Solomon did, among the first, in verse 3 and verse 4. Solomon loved the Lord. Good start. Walking in the statutes of his father David, set the sacrifice and burnt incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. Solomon offered a 1,000 burnt offerings in the altar. 1,000 burnt offerings he brought before God. And he worshipped God, and he worshipped God, and he worshipped God. That was a long time. 1,000 burnt offerings. That was a long worship service. And it was burnt flesh, so it was quite a smelly one too. A lot of hard work. And as he worshiped God and worshiped God and worshiped God, we begin to see here that Solomon moved into that second phase that we see here. The first was his establishing. The second here is receiving that gift from God. And the first thing that we notice here is that Solomon learned to surrender himself to God. He learns to worship God. He learns to sacrifice unto God. There is something that needs to be established in us as a principle, in that we want to give the best to God. And he's a good starter. He started well. He wanted to give the best. If he worshiped God, he'll give 1,000 burnt offerings to God. And it touched the heart of our God. Yahweh God came to Solomon in a dream and said to King Solomon in verse 5, "Ask what you will, and I will give it to you. Ask whatever you want, and I will give it to you." You know, if we will worship long enough, we will get in that position. If we will yield our lives long enough in a position of surrender,